All right, so this Kingmaker session you sent over,
Yeah.
it sounds like things took a pretty wild turn.
Okay.
It started with a feast at a noble's manor, but then ended with, well, things escalated pretty quickly.
For sure.
We've got all your notes and audio and everything, so we
Cool.
are ready to break it all down.
Awesome.
I thought it was really interesting how the session starts
Yeah.
with that classic, like, gather your heroes trope, you know, with the promise of land and titles.
Yeah.
You know, very alluring, but then it throws you right into the action
Oh, yeah.
and reminds us that the stolen lands are totally unpredictable.
Definitely.
And speaking of heroes, your party is quite a diverse group.
We do.
We've got Justicus, the champion of Gorum, always ready for a fight.
Always.
Then we have Alindra, the compassionate healer,
Right.
devoted to Erastil.
Well.
And then Brynley,
Oh, yeah.
the flamboyant swashbuckler with a knack for self-promotion and maybe a slight tendency to embellish his
Oh,
achievements.
for sure.
What do you think is motivating him?
That's a good question.
Is it pure bravado?
Could be.
Or is there something deeper?
Possibly.
Like a bit of insecurity driving him to prove himself?
I think it speaks to the nuance of role playing, you
Yeah,
know?
yeah.
How our choices reflect not just the character's skills,
Right.
but also their personality and motivations.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how his actions play out in future sessions.
Right.
Will he rise to the occasion and become a true hero?
Yeah.
Or will his desire for recognition lead him down a different path?
Interesting.
Very interesting.
And let's not forget Celestiris, the Elven Mage.
Of course not.
Always thinking a few steps ahead.
Always.
You mentioned in your notes that he used Detect Magic early on.
I did.
It's subtle, but it's significant. What was your thinking there? Was it a hunch?
Maybe.
Or were you playing it safe?
What you say in Kingmaker and Pathfinder in general, information is power. By
True.
revealing any hidden magical forces, Celestiris gets a tactical advantage right away.
Oh, I see.
It also hints at the potential for intrigue and danger
Right.
lurking beneath the surface of this quest.
Yeah, and the setting itself, the Stolen Lands, it adds
Right.
another layer of complexity.
It does.
I mean, this isn't just some generic fantasy kingdom.
Oh.
It's a wild frontier full of opportunity and danger.
Absolutely.
So, how do you think that environment shapes your characters and influences their decisions?
I think the Stolen Lands represent a blank slate,
Okay.
a chance for your characters to make their mark on the world.
Interesting.
But it's also a lawless and unforgiving place.
Yeah.
So survival depends on strength,
Yeah.
cunning,
Right.
and a little bit of luck.
Of course.
Every choice you make matters,
Yeah.
not just for your characters, but for the kingdom you're building.
Right. And speaking of weighty choices,
Yeah.
let's talk about Mirvan. He's the third son that shows up at the feast.
Yes.
He's connected to the Stolen
That's
Lands,
right.
and he seems capable.
He does.
But your notes mention you found him suspicious.
I did.
What was it about him that gave you that impression?
Well, that suspicion is crucial because it highlights the political tension
Yeah.
running through the Kingmaker campaign.
Right.
Every encounter, every interaction could have ripple effects on your kingdom's future.
Wow.
So who you trust, who you ally with,
Yeah.
and who you oppose
Right.
will shape the fate of the Stolen Lands.
So it's less like a simple adventure then, and
Yeah.
more like a Game of Thrones.
Exactly.
And just when you're getting a sense of the players and the stakes,
Oh.
the feast is interrupted by the sounds of violence.
Oh, no.
Talk about a mood
Yeah,
swing.
that shift from role playing to combat
Yeah.
is a hallmark of Pathfinder and
Right.
keeps you on your toes,
For sure.
reminding you that even in moments of safety, danger lurks around every corner.
That's true.
How did that transition feel for you as a player?
Jarring.
Exciting. A
Yeah,
bit of both.
definitely both.
Interesting.
And I thought your party's reaction to the chaos was really telling.
Oh, yeah.
Jesteris immediately jumps into battle mode.
He does.
Alindra assesses the situation with her usual calm. And then Brynley,
Yeah.
well, he makes sure everyone notices his fabulous
Of
mustache,
course he does.
even in the middle of all the mayhem,
He's got to.
sticking to his guns, so to speak.
Literally.
Do you think he'll ever let that bravado slip?
That's something to watch for.
Yeah.
Does he believe his own hype? Or is it a facade? And
Yeah.
how will that affect his ability to lead, to inspire, to
Yeah.
make the tough decisions when things get rough?
Totally.
I'll have to see.
And of course, we have Celestiris.
Yes.
He decided to cast detect magic, even though it required a noticeable gesture.
It did.
So were you already suspecting something was up? Or was this a move to gather information before things got out of hand?
That decision speaks volumes about your approach to the game.
Okay.
Are you reactive?
Mm-hmm.
Adapting to situations?
Yeah.
Or do you prefer to be proactive?
Right.
Seeking out information?
Yeah.
Planning ahead?
Okay.
Both approaches work in the Stolen Lands.
Uh-huh.
But knowing your style can be really helpful.
That's a good point.
Especially as you navigate this complex campaign.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And then, as if the tension wasn't high enough.
Nope.
You open the door to your quarters.
Oh.
And you find yourselves face to face with attackers.
Oh, wow.
It's go time.
And this is where the session really kicks into gear.
I bet.
The transition from peaceful role-playing to sudden combat.
Yeah.
It's jarring and effective.
It is.
It mirrors the unpredictable nature of the Stolen Lands.
For sure.
But before we get into the details of the encounter,
okay,
let's pause for a moment. And consider the strategic implications of this attack.
Right.
You're caught off guard, outnumbered.
Right.
And potentially outmatched.
Yeah.
What's going through your mind as a player at this point? What are your priorities?
I mean, it's a classic fight or flight scenario.
Totally.
And the way your party responds really shows their strengths and weaknesses.
In a way.
So Justicus, with his intimidating glare,
yeah,
tries to demoralize the attackers.
An old move.
Did you think that would work?
I don't know.
Or were you hoping to buy some time?
Maybe.
For the others to get into position.
Could be.
It's worth noting that Justicus, mm-hmm, he's a follower of Gorum.
Right.
The god of strength and battle.
Yes.
So does his faith influence his actions here?
Possibly.
Is he driven by a desire to protect his companions?
Maybe.
Or is it a deeper sense of duty to his god?
Could be.
That's interesting.
It is.
And then we have Alindra.
Of course.
Already tending to the wounded.
Always.
Even in the middle of all the chaos.
She...
It seems like her healing abilities are going to be crucial in this fight.
They are.
But I'm curious, how do you see her role evolving beyond just healing? Will she be a voice of reason in the group?
Maybe.
A moral compass?
Could be.
Or maybe even a mediator in conflicts that might arise?
I think those are all valid possibilities.
Yeah.
And it'll be exciting to see how her compassion...
Right.
And dedication to Arastel, the god of community and family,
mm-hmm,
might shape her actions, mm-hmm, as the campaign progresses.
Right. It's not just about surviving the battle.
No, it's not.
It's about building a kingdom where people can thrive.
Exactly.
And then there's Brinley.
Oh, yeah.
Taking down an enemy with a dramatic pistol shot.
I know.
While standing on the bed.
Of course.
Nolan.
Brinley being Brinley.
What was the thought process there? Mm-hmm. Was it tactical?
Yeah.
Or was Brinley just looking for a bit of theatrics?
I think it's those moments,
yeah,
that make tabletop role-playing so fun.
I agree.
The combination of strategy,
mm-hmm,
and creative role-playing.
Totally.
But it also raises the question.
Okay.
Will Brinley's showmanship help or hinder the party?
Oh, that's a good question.
Will his antics inspire his companions?
Yeah.
Or will they become a liability?
Right.
Especially in tense situations.
That's true. Now, you mentioned that Celestris lands a critical hit right away.
He does.
Taking down one of the attackers before they can even react.
Impressive.
It's clear he's a skilled archer.
He is.
But what else is going on there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is he motivated by a sense of duty?
Could be.
To protect his companions?
Maybe.
Or is there a colder, more calculating side to him?
That's a fascinating question.
It is.
And it ties back to our earlier discussion about him using detect magic.
Right.
Is he always assessing threats?
Yeah.
Calculating risks? Prioritizing his own safety above all else?
Hmm.
Or is there a deeper layer of loyalty,
mm-hmm,
and compassion that we haven't seen yet?
I guess we'll find out.
We will.
So the combat itself is a whirlwind of action.
It is.
Arrows are flying, swords clashing.
Yeah.
Alindra is scrambling to keep everyone patched up.
Oh, yeah.
But what stood out to you the most about this encounter?
Hmm.
Was it a particular strategic decision?
Maybe.
A lucky dice roll?
Could be.
Or a moment of unexpected role playing that surprised you?
That's a question only you can answer.
Sure.
It's worth reflecting on.
Yeah.
What surprised you?
Right.
What challenged you?
Uh-huh.
What moments made you feel truly immersed in the game?
Yeah.
Those insights can help you understand your playstyle,
mm-hmm,
and your character's motivations on a deeper level.
And just when you think you've got the upper hand,
yeah,
the attackers try to flee.
They do.
and you give chase.
Okay.
What was driving that decision? Were you determined to eliminate the threat?
Maybe.
Or was there something else at play?
I think that decision to pursue could have big consequences.
Yeah.
Especially in the stolen lands.
Right.
Is it a sign of your party's courage and determination?
Yeah.
Or is it a hint of recklessness?
Oh.
What does it tell us about your overall approach?
Okay.
Are you willing to take risks?
Mm-hmm.
Or do you prefer a more cautious approach?
Well, it seems that risk-taking might have backfired.
Oh, no.
At least for now.
How so?
Because your pursuit leads you to a horrifying discovery.
Uh-oh.
Multiple rooms filled with corpses.
Oh, wow.
It looks like a brutal massacre took place before you even arrived.
That's terrible.
And to top it all off, the portcullis slams shut.
Oh, no.
Trapping you inside the manor. That's where we'll leave off for now.
Okay.
You and your companions are trapped in a blood-soaked manor.
Right.
Surrounded by enemies both known and unknown.
This is bad.
We'll delve deeper into this chilling discovery and its implications in part two of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
But before we go, I'm curious.
Yeah.
How did you react to this sudden escalation of events? Was it a shocking twist?
It could be.
Or did you have a feeling that something darker was going on?
It's possible.
Under the surface.
Yeah.
And that's a wrap for part one.
Cool.
Stay tuned for part two.
Can't wait.
Where we'll explore the aftermath of the massacre.
Right.
The secrets hidden within the manor and the choices you make when facing overwhelming danger.
That sounds intense.
Welcome back.
Hey.
We left you and your companions in quite a predicament.
We did.
Trapped inside a blood-soaked manor with the echoes of a brutal massacre hanging in the air.
Right.
It's clear that this isn't a simple quest anymore.
No, it's not.
Something far more sinister is going on.
Definitely.
The manor has transformed from a place of celebration into a scene of horror and mystery.
Absolute.
And that straightforward path to establishing a kingdom has become a fight for survival.
For sure.
And your group, despite the shock and horror, doesn't hesitate to explore further. Your notes show you methodically checking each room.
Okay.
Meticulously searching for clues or survivors.
Maybe.
So what was the atmosphere like at the table during this exploration?
I mean,
was it tense and somber?
It could be.
Or was there a sense of grim determination?
It's possible.
To uncover the truth.
That speaks to the power of collaborative storytelling.
Okay.
How players and game masters contribute to building the atmosphere and the tension.
Yeah.
Even in a virtual space, you're creating a shared experience filled with suspense and anticipation.
And during this grim exploration, you have your characters reacting in different ways to the carnage, like Justix, focused and pragmatic.
Yep.
Simply notes the number of bodies and moves on.
So chilling.
It really speaks to his warrior mindset.
It does.
Did you find yourself feeling detached as you played Justicus?
Mm.
Or was there a sense of unease beneath that stoic exterior?
I think that detachment could be a coping mechanism.
It's interesting.
A way for him to deal with the horrors by compartmentalizing so he can focus on the task at hand.
Makes sense.
It's common for warriors,
but
it often comes at a cost.
Yeah.
How might this emotional suppression manifest in the long run?
Good question.
Will it lead to recklessness,
mm-hmm.
a growing callousness, or maybe even a sudden eruption of suppressed emotions?
Possibly.
Somewhere down the line.
Alindra, on the other hand, is visibly shaken by the violence.
Right.
She expresses distress, but also her determination to find out what happened. It seems like a defining moment for her character, showcasing her compassion and strength.
For sure.
In the face of darkness.
Absolutely.
How did you approach role-playing that scene?
Well.
Did you delve into Alindra's feelings?
I mean.
Or did you focus on her outward actions and pronouncements?
The way you choose to embody your character can have a big impact on the story.
Right.
Did you allow yourself to feel Alindra's pain?
Mm-hmm.
Her empathy for the victims.
Yeah.
Her anger towards the perpetrators.
Okay.
And how did those emotions inform her actions?
Right.
And her interactions with the party.
And then there's Brinley.
Oh, Brinley.
Even in this horrific setting,
he
doesn't miss a chance to snag some loot.
Classic Brinley.
It's a classic Brinley move.
Right.
Always the opportunist.
Always.
But was this purely pragmatic?
Maybe.
Or was there a touch of dark humor in it?
It's possible.
A way to alleviate the tension with some levity.
I think that's a fascinating question.
Yeah.
It highlights the different ways players cope
right.
with stress and tension during a game.
Mm-hmm.
Was it a conscious decision to add humor?
Yeah.
Or was it just Brinley's personality?
Right.
Unable to resist shiny objects.
Even in the face of death.
Exactly.
How did the rest of the party react to this?
Mm-hmm.
Was it amusement?
Maybe.
Disapproval?
Could be.
Or a mix of both?
It's possible.
The way you've developed Brinley throughout this session is interesting.
Yeah.
We see the bravado, the self-promotion,
right,
the opportunism.
Mm.
But is there something more to him?
Mm.
Could he be hiding vulnerability behind a facade of flamboyance?
If possible.
Could this experience in the manor force him to confront a deeper side of himself?
I think that potential for character growth is one of the most rewarding aspects of role-playing games.
For sure.
Challenges and traumas can break a character or forge them into something stronger, more nuanced.
It'll be interesting to see how Brinley's experiences shape him moving forward.
Absolutely.
Will he cling to his superficiality?
Right.
Or will he embrace the potential for depth and compassion?
We'll see.
That lies within him.
It's up to him.
And amidst all this exploration and character development,
right,
Celestiris picks up on something crucial.
Okay.
Faint sounds coming from the garden grotto. It seems you might not be alone after all.
That moment of discovery is expertly crafted.
It is.
It injects tension and uncertainty into the narrative.
For sure.
The silence of the manor is broken.
Yeah.
Replaced by a reminder that there are other forces at play.
That's true.
The question is, are these sounds from allies?
Mm-hmm.
More enemies?
Right.
Or something else entirely?
Good question.
The possibilities are endless.
They are.
And that uncertainty drives the suspense.
And speaking of uncertainty, you described Celester as trying to approach the door stealthily, only to slam his head into it.
Oh, no.
In a moment of epic failure.
Critical failures are part of tabletop RPGs.
Yeah.
They often lead to the most memorable and hilarious moments.
That's true.
Was it a groan-inducing moment of frustration? Or did everyone erupt in laughter?
It was a little bit of both.
Did you lean into the failure?
Mm-hmm.
Embellishing Celestris's clumsiness?
Yeah.
Or did you try to play it off?
Like
nothing happened.
It's those unexpected moments.
I know. That make tabletop gaming so unpredictable and fun.
They do.
But this blunder also shows the importance of skills and dice rolls in shaping the narrative.
Exactly. Celestaris's critical failure on his stealth check has immediate consequences.
It does.
Potentially alerting whoever is on the other side of the door.
Right.
So how did this impact your group's strategy? Did you become more cautious?
Maybe.
Or did you decide to throw caution to the wind and charge in?
Well, that adaptability is key in any RPG.
Right.
Plans change.
Mm-hmm.
Unexpected challenges arise.
Yeah.
And players need to think on their feet and adjust their strategies.
Did this moment force you to reevaluate your approach? Or did you double down on your initial plan?
I guess.
Hoping for the best.
Maybe.
And that's where this part of the session leaves us.
Okay.
Poised on the brink of another encounter.
Wow.
The tension is cranked up another notch.
I bet.
You've got your party gathered outside the grotto door.
Right.
Weapons drawn. Apprehension and anticipation hanging in the air.
It's a classic cliffhanger.
It is.
Leaving you on the edge of your seat.
Yeah.
Wondering what lies beyond that door.
Exactly.
Are you eager to confront whatever awaits? Or are you feeling a sense of dread?
Maybe a little.
A premonition of danger.
Perhaps.
And how do those feelings translate into your character's actions and choices?
All right, before we dive into the final part of this deep dive, let's recap what we've uncovered.
Sure.
You navigated a brutal massacre scene.
We did.
Gathering information and clues, reacting to the carnage in ways that reveal your characters.
Right.
And ultimately discovering the presence of others within the manor.
That's a lot.
But the question remains, who are they?
Yeah.
And what role will they play in the unfolding story?
The session masterfully builds suspense and intrigue.
It does.
Leaving you with a sense of unease and anticipation for what's ahead.
And that's where we'll pick up in part three of our deep dive.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned. Welcome back for the final act of our Kingmaker deep dive.
It's been quite a ride.
Last we left off, you were outside that grotto door.
Oh, yeah.
With Celestaris probably wishing he had a helmet.
Oof. Yeah, that was rough.
The tension is so thick you could cut it with a dagger.
No kidding. Every room a testament to violence.
And now you've got to deal with whoever's making those sounds.
Behind the door.
Right. Talk about high stakes.
Italy.
But you don't just burst in.
Nope.
Your notes say you decide to strategize first.
Always a good idea.
Brinley suggests rounding up the barbarian woman and the halfling bard.
Smart move.
What was the thinking there?
Well.
Back up for a potential fight.
Could be.
Or something else.
It speaks to your understanding of the game.
Okay.
The Stolen Lands are all about alliances.
Right. Strength in numbers.
Exactly. A diverse skill set.
It's not just about winning battles. It's about navigating the social and political landscape.
Exactly.
Were you thinking ahead to the kingdom building?
Possibly.
Seeing these people as potential assets.
Maybe.
So you're about to go find those potential allies.
Uh-huh.
And then, bam, session ends.
Oh, and a cliffhanger.
How did that feel?
It's a classic Game Master move.
It is.
Leaving the players wanting more.
Yeah, with their imaginations running wild.
Exactly like the Stolen Lands themselves.
Full of danger and opportunity.
Absolutely.
So let's zoom out for a second.
Okay.
We've covered a lot.
We have.
A quest gone wrong.
Uh-huh.
A brutal massacre. Hidden agendas.
Right.
Potential allies lurking in a deadly manner.
A lot to unpack.
What's the most significant takeaway for you?
I think this session highlights the Kingmaker campaign.
Yeah.
It's a mix of personal adventure.
Right.
And large-scale consequences.
True.
Your decisions shape not just your character,
mm-hmm.
but the entire kingdom.
It's a heavy burden.
It is.
Requiring strategic thinking.
Hmm.
And a willingness to adapt.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
So as we wrap up this deep dive,
yeah.
any final thoughts for our listeners?
Embrace the unpredictability of the Stolen Lands.
Okay.
Don't be afraid to take risks.
But calculate them carefully.
Exactly.
Trust your instincts.
Rely on your companions.
And don't underestimate detect magic.
Never.
Remember, the story is yours to shape.
Every choice, every action, every dice roll
creates a unique narrative.
You got it.
And that's a wrap on our Kingmaker deep dive.
Thanks for having me.
Hope you gained some insights into your characters,
yeah.
your campaign, and maybe even yourself.
And until next time.
Happy adventuring.